Your Body Knows How to Be Healthy. I'm your host, Martha Blessing, and this is the Place to Be Free podcast, a show that is passionately devoted to illuminating the potential within you. We're shaking up and breaking up old paradigms so you can free up your mind and body to create profound well-being and a ridiculously happy and successful life. Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Place to Be Free podcast. I'm so excited. I have a guest with me today, and her name is Cheyenne Bone. And Cheyenne has been working with Universal Laws, teaching and mentoring clients and students who want to bring more of the principles and properties of Universal Laws into their life to create a life that they love and that they want. And so I'm going to introduce you to Cheyenne and let her tell you a little bit about what her journey has been like. She has, I'm getting chills just talking about it, but she has a really interesting story and background that when we first met not too long ago, very recently, I just was really wowed by her courage and her story. And I knew that I wanted to get to know her better and talk to her. And when I did, it was a no-brainer that I had to have her on the podcast. So welcome, Cheyenne. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So let's jump right in. Let's dive right in. Tell people a little bit about, let's listen to your story, right? Let's listen to your background. You did work doing healing work in Saskatchewan, up north there. But tell folks about before you came to that work or as you were coming to that work, your background. What's been your story and your journey?
Certainly. I grew up in a very small town. It was actually called Warman, Saskatchewan, which the closest city is Saskatoon. That's a fairly large city here. But growing up in small town, we were all very religious. We grew up Mennonite Christian, and we were a family that went to church every Sunday. We prayed before every meal. Everything, in my perception at the time, was perfect. We attended youth groups when I was young, and I just loved being at church, actually. The whole sensation of it just felt really warm and welcoming. But there was some curiosity inside me when, you know, they were preaching about God and how he would never let you be in a state of pain. And if you just was loyal and followed him, that you would be lifted of all these ailments. So that made sense when we went to church on Sundays. But when we were home, we were not well off. We did pretty good for ourselves, but we were not really that well off. And my grandparents lived with us, and they were also very religious. My grandpa read the Bible every day, and we would often spend our evenings just chatting with each other and filling my life with the word of the Bible. But my grandpa had COPD, which is a very intense lung disorder gets worse and worse as you go on. And I would watch him be on oxygen all the time. And I couldn't, even at a very young age, I couldn't understand why this devoted gentleman who preached the Bible and never complained, why he was in such a state of pain. There was something that wasn't connecting there for me.
Yeah.
And then I would see families struggle and not be able to pay their bills. And it just fell short of what they were telling me in church. We were supposed to be so prosperous. And if you just followed the way of the Bible and listened to the messages at church, that you were supposed to be well taken care of. Yeah. So there was, you know, there was some questions like, what was going on here? But we were taught not to question what we were learning on Sunday.
But you had questions.
I had a lot of questions.
You were taught not to question, but you had questions. Yeah.
I had questions and nobody seemed to answer them for me. And it was considered, you know, sinful that I even had these questions.
Wow.
But what I couldn't understand at church is when somebody was going through a really hard time, they would pull this family to the front of church, and I would see the pastor stand over them and tell the whole congregation this person's story and their struggle story. And in my church, we would all get up to the front of the stage with this family, and we would all lay our hands on the family and say a prayer over this person. And as this young child, I could watch the energy of the whole church completely change. And I seen this burden being lifted out of people and flown away. And I was in awe. You know, why were we not talking about the color shift and the feeling of the energy in the whole church move? Like, yes, we were helping this family, but why were we not preaching on the whole experience? It was very intense for my young eyes.
Yeah, the real metaphysical, meta meaning beyond the physical, right? Experience of what was going on. So you were in tune with that.
Definitely.
You were seeing and hearing and feeling the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet no one around you was like, they were all acting like it wasn't there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get it. You know, here I wanted to start screaming that there were angels in the room and, you know, we had welcomed them here. But I seemed to be the only one that was just really lit up like that. You know, everybody around me was still full of sadness and sorrow for this family with whatever they were going through.
Yeah.
So I tried a few times to talk to my mom and my dad about watching the angels come down and different people's energies as they carried themselves. I expressed to my mom a couple times that I could see where people's pain was. You know, if somebody was walking past me on the street, I could see if, you know, they were holding something in their kidneys, or if their shoulder was really far out of place and they were holding a lot of weight there and energy there. And it was okay if I expressed it about the angels, but if I actually started talking about witnessing people's pain with my own eyes, oh, that was considered sinful.
Yeah.
You know, so I,
yeah. So certain, it's fascinating, right? Because certain parts of what we might call religion versus the real truth of the energetic and creation, right? The metaphysical, people have, I used to get very similar, right? If you would talk about angels, people were very uncomfortable and they'd say, well, angels don't do healing and angels don't do this. Only God does. And I'm like, how many churches have you been in where there's cherubs and angels all over the churches? Like, you know, what, like there's same thing, a discrepancy, right? The questions come up.
Definitely.
And when the questions start coming up, that's it. You've got to have answers. And that's actually God, you know, source working through you.
Yes, which I totally understand now. And it's now something I extremely take pride in. You know, like I feel honored that I have been woken up this early and that even through my story, as we go on here, I never let it completely dim. You know, I pushed it down after my mom told me what I was doing was sinful. You know, that was my programming right there. It caused me to shove it all down and not express it and not talk about it and almost hide my eyes when I could see it.
I'm curious, did she, you know, when you went to her and said these things or asked these things, did she actually tell you that's sinful? Stop thinking that, stop looking at that, stop believing in that? Or did she just kind of like push it aside and, you know, you got the feeling that it was wrong? Or did she actually like say to you, shame you, right?
That's the ticket right there. Yeah. It was, you know, I was a very creative dreamer, let's say. So we were very, what's the word, filtered on what we could watch for TV and take in for media. So if I had a bad reaction, I would have nightmares and they were violent. So whenever I referenced that, my mom would kind of use my nightmares as the explanation for it. You know, like, oh, that comes to you because you get nightmares, or, you know, there's the devil's at work in some of the things and he's trying to pull you away from God. And that scared the baloney out of me.
Yeah. Like,
my whole life, I was trying to be this Christian girl who loved and adored her family and only wanted to follow in their footsteps. And here my parental figure was telling me that the devil was at work in my life. That was terrifying for me.
Yeah.
So no, she didn't say specifically that it was sinful, but referenced it enough to make me feel.
She inferred it. Yeah. She kind of guilted and shamed you so that you would just let it go.
Yeah. And I feel like it was because she didn't really have the answers for me. You know, that was the way she understood it and her perception of what I was experiencing. And she knew angels were good. So the angel stuff was fine, but it was anything else. It was just kind of like, oh, don't really talk about that. Let's push that aside.
Yeah. So you had this experience, and then where did you go from there? You stuffed it all down.
Yes, definitely, as far as it would go. And I tried really hard to get back with the Bible and, you know, understanding it at a better level. Then we had to move into the city. And when we moved into the city, my group of friends changed. So my best friend, Rachel, when I moved to the city, her mom was super spiritual, not religious, spiritual. There's a big difference there.
Yeah.
And it kind of sparked that interest back up in me, because here was a grown woman and an authoritative figure in my life who I really thought she had, you know, her life put together, yet she was entertaining all of these spiritual ideas. And, you know, she introduced me to crystals and that whole realm. And it didn't seem like she was sinful. You know, it still seemed like she was doing everything as right as it could be in her perception. Mm-hmm. And I didn't talk too much about it. I just kind of sat with a twinkling eye from the sidelines. But it was when she had this gentleman come over, and he would come over and she would be laying on this treatment table, and I would watch, and he wouldn't touch her at all, but he would change the entire energy in the house. He would remove whatever this darkness or energy buildup inside my mom's friend, or my friend's mom, and completely dismiss it out of her body, and then pour the whitest light I had ever seen inside her body. And the first few times I seen it, I was scared, because my programming was that this was the work of the devil.
Yeah, it was wrong.
It was scary, but I couldn't keep my eyes off of it.
Yeah.
You know,
did you feel like, you know, during all of this, because our stories are very similar, right? You know, I mean, completely different lives, but some of the instances are very, very much the same. Did you, you know, feel like you were kind of losing your mind, right? Like you were going in and out of these two different worlds? And what was going on inside of you? Like, what was your feeling? Did you have a sense of somehow knowing that this was truth, even though, because I imagine you were experiencing fear at the same time, right? Like you've got this, and Cheyenne will be back several times to talk about laws, universal laws, but you were in the law of polarity, right? Like you had truth, you know, being shown to you on one side of this energy and moving and love and light. And then you had this other family, you know, religious background that is all based in fear. So how did you come to rectify that or, you know, get some kind of peace and balance in all of that?
You know, it was a journey. It did not happen overnight. And I faced a lot of shame and guilt through many years going forward.
Yeah.
But I always had a really good relationship with what I interpreted as God. You know, he always spoke to me very clearly and always let me know that I was on the right path, or if there was something to move forward with, that, you know, it was okay, that I could go.
Yeah.
So it took my parents getting divorced when I was 16 for me to actually feel like I had permission to step forward into this. You know, divorce was also extremely sinful,
right,
in my religion and my upbringing. So it came to me and it was like, if my parents could do something sinful and cause pain, then I could do something what I thought was sinful if I could heal somebody through it.
Yeah, then I'm going to check out this energy stuff.
Yeah, there's right. Yeah, I just got
if
it right.
Parents like, can get divorced, I am going to check out this energy stuff. That was your permission slip.
Yes, because it finally broke the code for me. Like, you know, I was so stuck in this box of who we had to be and what kind of life, that when my parents decided to split, it was like, oh, like if you're willing to break out of this box, then maybe I'm not in the right one. You know, maybe there's something else to this that I've been kind of held back from. So I actually got in touch with my friend's mom's friend, Ryan is his name, Ryan Morrison. And he's a Reiki master here in Saskatoon. So he started explaining to me what energy healing was and what Reiki healing was. And honestly, Martha, it was like somebody took the blinds off my eyes. Yeah. You know, here was a person saying all of the messages that I needed to hear in order to feel okay with what I was doing and what I could see, you know, actually to feel normal.
Yeah.
Because through this, I felt like a dual personality. You know, over here, I was love and fluidity and helping people. And I could physically help somebody go from being extremely depressed and having all of these chronic pains inside their body to completely refreshed and happy about life and have their mission and their passion restored. And then to be go home and then be told that that was sinful and that that was like voodoo or, you know, the devil's work. There was just such a misunderstanding there for me. It was such a law polarity. You said it best there.
Yeah. And you know, you're not alone. I mean, I've been doing this work for 30 years and very similar, right? Like, you know, I came up through Western conventional medicine as a nurse, but then when I got into that system, I started seeing all of the discrepancies as a patient, right? Uh-huh. And then, you know, having my own health challenges and my own daily chronic pain and, you know, following all of the things that you should do, and it didn't help. And then I had two instances very similar to yours where it was, you know, I went to a yoga center and I had energy healing done. And I had never even heard of this. Like, I didn't even know what this was. And it was so profound. The experience was so profound. And it was like, pay attention. I don't know what just happened. I don't know what this is, but you need to find out and pay attention. So there was that piece of it, right? And then the experience of actually learning and deciding to train in healing touch that very first week. And it was like lightning went through my fingertips, you know, and the experience. And it was like, what is this? And you're not alone. There are so many people that I have known in the 30 years of doing this work that are afraid because of that idea of they're doing something wrong and sin and being raised either Catholic or, and I don't want to get into, you know, the negativity of religion, but there is a tremendous amount of programming. And that is the piece that people struggle with more than anything, is that they can't trust themselves, right, to ask the questions. We want so much to be loved and accepted that we will go along with the crowd and the flow. So I commend you at your ripe young age to have listened, right? That's what this is about. The podcast is the place to be free, right? Like you found, and even though it's a continuous journey, you found that place inside yourself Ooh, so powerful. You found that place inside yourself where you got resolution of that conflict.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard it talked back
to me. Yeah, I'm getting chills. Right? Like, it's just kind of the download coming through.
Oh, love it.
But that's it, right? I mean, for me, it's about, you know, helping people see this point, because if they don't, they're in constant conflict with themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're in their head trying to resolve it and justify it and seek the love and seek the approval. But when they're in their heart, they feel the truth.
Yes.
And so there's this constant, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's what like blows up the mind. It gives people anxiety, right?
Yes.
Gets all just anxiety. People really get pissed off when I say anxiety is just energy. It's just energy, right?
Absolutely. And it's programming. It's a pattern that you enter into. And then your subconscious already has a whole storage full of those reactions. So that's when the overwhelm sets in and it becomes too heavy for people to move through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here you are now with this knowledge, with this wisdom, with this energy, with this training. And you've stepped out of that. We should back up and tell people that as you followed what your family said you should be, do, and have, you were a truck driver, which I think is just like, you know, I'm still trying to resolve that in my mind, because I look at this person and I still can't imagine you driving a semi-tractor trailer. Somehow I just can't see it, but I see you as you are now. So how did you move out of that? What did you do and how did you create to where you are now?
Oh, like I said, it was a journey. When I met Ryan, the first time I met him, I was 14. The second time when I started courses with him was when I was 16. So it took a full 2 years for me just witnessing from the sidelines for me to actually feel confident. And then my parents split when I was 16, which engaged the conversation.
Yeah.
But I still had, 16 years of programming, and we were such a tight-knit family. You know, the split really shocked my world, because we were so involved. We spent so much time together. Every night at 7 p.m. was game night with the family. And, we played board games every day. It was earth shattering when my family split. But when I started my courses with Ryan, I couldn't help but be completely intoxicated by the work. We did intensive training for about a year, where he would take me into a room and show me how to manipulate and work with the energies in the room, and then brought in people. And we really got serious training out of that. But I still lived a dual life. I never talked about spirituality when I was at home. And if I did, I worded it so it would fit with what my upbringing was. And then I would go and heal in all my extra spare time. Anytime I could get away with my family without them knowing where I was in a healing mode and helping people.
I was going to say, did you have to lie to them about where you were and what you were doing?
All the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I wanted so desperately to be what now I understand is being approved by my family and being loved by my family, that I wanted nothing more than to follow in their footsteps.
Yeah.
So at 19, I decided to get my trucking license and show up on my dad's doorstep and say, I'm ready to start trucking. So I started truck driving, and the way, I delivered bulk potable water to farms and acreages. So lots of times on grid road, dirt road, and lots of time to myself in my head. And I would work. And then I would go home and I would have healing clients in the evening, and I would work. But I couldn't take payment for the healing, because in my programming, that was still sinful. So the way I worked it out in my head was like, if I could help these people without taking payment and watch them flourish and love their life after they left, and I didn't take anything receiving, like it somehow made that loophole where I didn't feel like I was being as sinful. You know, there's some permission given.
Yeah.
Fast forward today, it's a not feeling worthy core wound that I'm working through. But at that point, that was really the only way I could get through it. So here I was being hired now to do larger corporations and come in and heal and work with hundreds of staff members and large buildings and feeling like I'm on top of my game. And I couldn't tell anybody about it because I was scared of somebody telling my parents.
Wow.
So there was a real fight and a battle back and forth of Cheyenne, the truck driver, and Cheyenne, this super spiritual healer and spiritual guide.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was programmed that I was going to take over this trucking company. So I actually worked there for over a decade alongside being a healer. So what I understand now is my truck driver, like I loved that job. No, let's not get anybody confused there. Being that young female operating these huge machines and, you know, getting into very tight and crazy places and then jumping out and the people being like, you're a female. You know, and I'm standing there going, yep. And I just did that.
And, you know, that's a piece too. Like it was almost a preparation for not fitting into the box, right? Like it was, you are already living it, right? You are already experiencing what it's like to not be in the norm.
I have never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was empowering, right? Like you liked it. Like there was a place in you that was like, oh yeah, I'm just doing this thing. And how cool is this? And, you know, people are seeing me do things that most people believe women can't, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't do.
Definitely. And yeah. I took such pride in proving that statement wrong.
Yeah. So it prepared you for all of this now.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I like looking at it like that.
Yeah.
So what I was finding was my customers in the trucking department were approaching me, and all of a sudden they were starting to overshare and they were picking up that I could help them in some way, but they didn't understand, you know, and it kept my two lives pretty separate. So I started spending hours and hours after I'd already delivered their water and talking through them and counseling them through their issues. And then I actually started healing while I was at my trucking job when I was at my deliveries. And it started getting a little overwhelming, you know, there started being some complications in my two identities because now they were starting to merge. So the universe knew better than I, and it decided that me and my manager, who was between me and my dad, who owned the company, we were going to start button heads. And in a very interesting way, we both wanted what was best for the company, but we seen it from two different perceptions. So there started to get some real friction in there. And at that time, I was so frustrated. You know, here I was, the person that was supposed to take over the company, and my manager was treating me pretty crappy and continually giving me the short end of the stick, so much so that the other drivers took note of it and realized how unfairly I was getting treated. So fast forward it to just last year. So I had worked for this company for 10 years, had full intentions of taking it over and keeping my energy just on the side. I just liked it over there. Nobody asked me too many questions about it. But now that this was merging, the universe knew that I just needed a little push. Yeah. So it actually cut the radio out of my truck. And it's a quiet life when you have absolutely no sound with you for 10 to 12 to 14 hours of the day.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And my boss, because we clashed, he didn't see that was an important thing to fix. So I had to accept that just wasn't getting fixed. I wasn't going to have a radio. It's funny. I thought, well, now I've got the time to look more into spirituality. You know, maybe there's some more stuff that I can learn that I'm not, that I don't have a handle on or something. Mm-hmm. So I go on the YouTube and I search spiritual podcasts. Just, I had no idea where to look. And the universe very slyly slot in David Nagel's podcast, The Successful Mind. This, I've figured, you know, I searched spiritual podcasts, so this must be one. And when I listened to it, here was this man talking about spirituality, but in a completely different relationship than what I had been brought up on. But not so much where I resisted it. It was more like he had finally taken off the glasses, the filter that I was seeing it through, and giving me that aha, you know, like, we are spiritual beings. That part I always agreed with when I was a kid, you know, I always felt that connection. But now here's a man telling me about how we can control our relationship with it, and we can develop our relationship with spirit. And it was the perfect sound that I needed in my ears to finally give myself permission to start my study in a way more serious way. And over the next 10 months, I listened to David Nagel for 10 to 16 hours a day, because I would get home and I'd want to turn my podcast on as soon as I got there. So it was just unlocking all of the programming that I had been stuck in my whole life.
Yeah. And it hit you as truth.
And it was to
the next level of consciousness, right? Like, that's, you and I had a conversation about that, and it's the same thing, right? Like, we are in these levels and these layers. And so for, you know, 10, 11, 12 years, you were like in the middle, you were in the bridge, and you were getting all of these pieces. And then all of a sudden, what hit was, oh, now I'm going to the next level, which is the true consciousness of my being, the energy of my being. Mm-hmm. is what is creating my reality, or can create my reality. Yeah,
absolutely. And when you hear truths like that, you cannot deny them. When your inner heart knows the truth and hears it, it's an understanding like I can't even explain to somebody who hasn't got that feeling yet.
Yeah. Well, you can ignore them. You can ignore them, because there's a lot of people ignoring them. and you know, because we are at choice, right? So we can choose to ignore them, but the seed has been planted.
Yeah.
And I personally feel like if and when we do choose to ignore them, life becomes more painful.
Absolutely.
Like it, because that truth is there and it's in you. And when it hits you, that's your soul speaking.
Yes.
You know, that's your heart and your soul. That is your connection to the ever eternal God source, divine energy, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And we can deny it, because I think I probably did. I mean, I moved in and out of it. And so you moved in and out of levels 2 and 3 for a long time. And then now you go from 3 to 4, which is the same. I mean, I agree with, you know, David was a game changer for me in my life and my beliefs and understanding the laws and what the universal laws are and how they're different. And I think that the power in that is, you know, you come through some of it and, you know, you can see the crystals and you can do all the, as we say, wiki woo. But the biggest question people have was, how is it going to change? And they're stuck at that level, right? I'll just put this rose quartz in my bra and my heart will be open. Mm-hmm. But when you're not looking at how to apply these laws and use your own mind in conjunction with your heart and your soul and your own energy, you're at a constant mercy of everything outside of yourself. right? Like everything is a problem and is an issue and is a challenge, and you have no control over it. So I want to wrap up a little bit here, but I also want you to finish a little bit about, so now you have come into this place where you're not driving the truck anymore, and you're focused since you've started working with universal laws and how powerful they are and how they make a big difference. And you've kind of made a little bit of a pivot from only doing energy work and healing into teaching about universal laws. Tell us a little bit about that, but then also tell us, because you have a program coming up, tell us about working with the laws, what it's done in changing your life, and then tell us about your course and how people can get access to you and the course.
Certainly. So David was the final ticket. You know, he gave me the permission, or gave me the tools to give myself permission, to finally accept that I was not being sinful, that what I was doing was healing. And there was nothing bad about that. There was no shame and no guilt that should have been ever attached to being able to help somebody heal at such an incredibly deep level. So through the help of listening to his podcast and taking almost all of his online courses and now his mentorship, it was like, I can do this. And I can do this on a serious level. And it's time. So he actually took my question in one of his courses that he was talking about, and I had to pull my semi over because David Nagel was answering my question about leaving my family run company and being okay with that and standing in my own 2 feet. So I, through a series of events, I gave my notice to my dad, and it was received better than I could have ever imagined. He actually wished me luck, and it was because he had seen over the past year this huge change in who I was being. You know, there was no more desperate plea to be approved by him, because I was getting that from myself. I knew how to do that now, the inner work.
Yeah.
So I started healing one-on-one full-time and taking the mentorship from David. And it was awesome. You know, I had lots of people lining up to get their appointments done. I filled my first month in the first day my books were open. It was mind-blowing. You know, abundance was flowing in. But there was a lot of repeat customers, and they would kind of come back with the same ailments a lot of the times. And there had been people that I had been doing energy work for well over 2 years, and they were still coming back with basically the same problem that they approached me with in the very first meeting with me. So I had started using the universal laws in my own life more as a experiment.
You
know, yeah. Yeah. David would say, you know, use the law of polarity and change your entire perception of your day. So I was just playing with it in my own life, and the results come instantly. When you start just doing those little experiments, the little tweaks happen pretty instantaneously.
Yeah.
So I started playing with the bigger ones, and it's like, okay, like how can I have bigger effects in my life? And they would happen clear as day, exactly as I asked them to. So that flipped a switch in me, and all of a sudden I realized I need to be teaching my clients and the people who are coming to me what the universal laws are and how to use them.
Yeah.
Because the problems they were coming to me with, yes, as an energy healer, I can pull that ailment out of you. Absolutely. But if you're not willing to go home and do the work to keep yourself balanced, that effect is going to come back. You're in the same environment.
Yeah. If you keep having the same thoughts, you're going to keep getting the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There was like a loss in communication. I couldn't get them to understand that when you go home, there's still work that you have to do mentally. And it's actually pretty tough in the first little bit to get your programming to kind of fall away and for you to actually believe in some of this stuff. So that's when I got the idea to write an online course. It was time. I couldn't get myself to stop talking when people would ask me about them. So I said, okay, like I've got to be able to put this into a condensed version that people can get their hands on and work at their own pace. You know, I've got some learning disabilities myself. So I wanted to give it in a way where people could do this completely on their own time, fit it into their own schedule, and just sit with each law individually until you fully understand it.
Yeah.
You know, we live in such an anxiety-filled world that if we were told that we need to do all of these laws every day, all at once, it would feel overwhelming and most people wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I've created an online course. It's called Chaos to Calm, Using the Universal Laws. And it's video activated, but there is also audio files available as well, just so you don't have to have the video if you don't want to. And it's a very simplified version so that anybody at any level can sit in these universal laws and hear them the way they made most sense to myself and when they unlocked that chapter. So it's a 8 video program that you click through and do each one at your own pace so you fully understand them. And then I take it one step further and actually show you how to put them into your day-to-day life.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, because that's where it's so important, right? You and I had very similar experiences. It's why I do this work now. Why the podcast? Why the universal laws? Because it really is the missing piece. It really is the place that takes you out of all the pain and the struggle. And it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, a prosperity issue or a health issue or whatever the thing is that's your struggle. It's there by choice, and the laws will show you how you created it and how to uncreate it, right? And how to create what it is that you truly want versus going and plopping yourself down on someone's table, but not creating, you know, using everything that you have at your disposal, your mind, your heart, your soul, your energy to create new beliefs and to create a new mindset for what it is you want. So, I have a saying that, you know, most people that know me are familiar with, and it is we become what we practice.
Yes.
Right. We become what we practice. So the universal laws are a practice of a sort, right? And so it's no different. I love that you've created this course that, you know, people can come back to over and over, because it's about not just understanding, but applying and becoming the embodiment of it, right? So that after a while, you'll hit a tipping point where you don't have to think about it anymore. You actually have become it. Without even having to think about it. But in the beginning, yeah, there is, you have to practice. Just like if you wanted to learn Spanish or learn to play the piano, you have to practice. So you've created a way in the course for them to do that. I love it. I absolutely love it. So how do people get a hold of you or get access to the course?
So the course itself becomes available on October 1st. It is live for pre-sale right now, which you can snag up some awesome discounts if you go to my website. And my website is Cheyenne-phone-mykajabi.com.
We will leave that link in the show notes. And if you're listening, watching on YouTube, we will leave it. I'll leave it in the below the video in YouTube as well. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I hope that it inspires people and it helps them to understand the truth about freedom, right? Like you are creating the place where you are free. And so I'm super, super grateful. And I think we'll probably have some more conversations like this in the future.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I feel incredibly blessed and grateful. Just thank you for creating this space for people. Like you said it at the beginning of the podcast, there are so many people who are scared to experience this and talk about it and ask the questions. And here you are creating a beautiful space for that exact thing to take place.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, thanks for listening, and check out Cheyenne's course, and we will see you in the next episode of the Place to Be Free podcast. Thanks for listening to the Place to Be Free podcast. And if you liked what you heard and you want to know more, go to marthablessing.com/freestuff.